If it's worth crying over, it's probably worth laughing at. That's just one of the many pearls to be found in the book by our next guest. Its title poses an interesting dilemma for the modern woman. If you lean in, will men just look down your blouse? The author is a nationally syndicated columnist and a professor at the University of Connecticut. You might have seen her before on Oprah or heard her commentary on NPR. You probably didn't encounter her when she was hiding in the ladies' room at Bloomingdale's counting the minutes till her shift ended. But she's been there, too, and a lot of other places that inform her views on what it means to be a loud, smart woman in turbulent times. Gina Borecka is on the line now. Gina, thanks for being on The Exchange. Welcome.
I'm just delighted to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So let's go right for the gold here. If I lean in, will men just look down my blouse? And does that mean I should try wearing a turtleneck or a formless smock of some sort or like a different stance altogether?
I really like formless smock.
Yeah.
It's not a phrase that comes up that often.
A whole area of my wardrobe for sure.
Yeah. It's wonderful. I'm writing that down as we speak. As I wear more or less what I've decided is, you know, it's always what the aliens are shown wearing in the future. I wear black leggings, a jacket long enough to sort of go down to mid-thigh. You know, I look tidy. I don't have to think about it. I wear short boots with a low heel. It's an outfit that gets me in and out of wherever I need to go. But that's one of the great things, as I talk about in the book, about being, you know, 59 years old, is that I'm not as scared about what people are going to think about how I look as I used to be. My whole deal in life is about making sure that I'm comfortable and not having to think about whether somebody's looking down my blouse or I'm trying to put, you know, a frog down my back or whatever else might be going on. I've decided that I'm not going to worry about getting a better, you know, beach body for the summer. I'm simply going to get a bigger tan.
A terrarium, I think, is how you describe your own body in your book.
That's right, a terrarium. Because, you know, for the first, again, we always say to girls that they're brought up to think that, you know, until they're 18, their bodies are a temple. And I thought, okay, that's fine. But then, like, from 18 to 25, my body was, like, you know, an amusement park. And now after 40, everybody's taking these probiotics. And, you know, it's 40 million new kinds of fern or something are growing in your gut to keep you healthy. I thought, I'm a terrarium. This is now what I am. You actually read the book. You're very good.
Oh, well, thank you. And, you know, we had a rather robust discussion about it here at JPR's newsroom, mostly this phrase, lean in.
Yeah.
I thought it meant something, I guess, completely different than what it's been branded to mean. What does leaning in mean to you?
Well, I'm not a fan of Sheryl Sandberg's book. I think she meant well. What did they say in the South? Bless her heart.
Bless her soul, yeah.
Yes, bless her multi-million-dollar heart. But when I read Sandberg's book, Lean In, and it's supposed to be about making sure that, you know, women have agency in their workplace space. I mean, again, the intentions were good. But I thought, you know, what we really need to go back and read is Barbara Ehrenreich's Nickeled and Dimed, because most people are not working in environments where they need to tell the boss they're going to get out of the international Skype meeting a little early so that they can actually have dinner that, you know, the chef has prepared for them with their children this evening. That a lot of people, if they say, because she's talking about the importance of EQ, and I asked a friend of mine, EQ, your emotional quotient.
Emotional quotient.
Intelligence quotient, right? And so you have to judge somebody by their ability to, you know, be empathetic and their, you know, willingness to work with people. And that's, a, you know, she sees as a feminine trait and that, you know, that needs to be encouraged. All well and good. Except for, I asked a friend of mine who's a taxi dispatcher down in Long Island in New York. And I said, you talked about EQs, you know, EQ at your workplace. What were the guys say? And they'd say EQ too, you know. I mean, it's not exactly, and she's the one who gave me the line. I said, what about lean in? She said, where I lean in, if I lean in, guys look down my shirt. And I thought, okay, we're talking about very different kinds of workplaces, and this is like, you know, somebody coming in and giving advice to people saying, darling, you simply need to leave early. And if darling takes that advice, darling gets fired,
right?
Find another you know, minimum wage job that's going to get her and her family through the next couple of weeks. So not all the advice works. So I go at it in a different way that, you know, really the advice that Sandberg is giving is not going to work for a lot of people, especially women who are still, for all of the noise that we're making, way behind in terms of a lot of areas of power and getting stuff done in this country.
And you don't shy away from advice in this book. Who is it aimed at? Who's it for?
Oh, I really see this. I've been teaching at the University of Connecticut for 28 years. And so I put a lot of the advice that I tell my students into it, but I also see it for women of any age. I think that, you know, I mean, it's what all authors say, but I really believe that these are short pieces written for anybody to pick up. And, you know, men can read this too, and they get like extra credit points, which I can send them like continuing education credits for reading this if they want to find out what, you know, life is like on the other side. And this is, so it's about finding your own voice. It's about making trouble. The hashtag that I use is Loud Smart Women.
And in turbulent times, right?
In turbulent times. I just the turbulent was hard for people to spell. I just went with Loud Smart Women. And really it's about how, you know, people say when women, you know, head towards 40 that we become invisible. And I don't think that's so much true. I just think we become more audible. And it's sort of that eclipses being looked at on the street or having people make sucky teeth noises at you.
Well, a lot more audio coming up on The Exchange with Gina Borecka, our guest. Her new book is called If You Lean In, Will Men Just Look Down Your Blouse? Questions and Thoughts for Loud, Smart Women in Turbulent Times. Got a few questions and thoughts for Gina Borecka coming up, and hope you will join the discussion. Phone number and email address are on the way. I'm Emily Curitan, and we'll be back in a minute 20. On the Jefferson Exchange with Gina Borecka, our guest. She's the author of If You Lean In, Will Men Just Look Down Your Blouse? Join this discussion, 800-838-3760, or drop your comments off to our inbox, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Gina, let's talk about the woman card. I thought it was like a members-only kind of thing, but Donald Trump appears to know all about it, and I just want to know, like, do you have one? What do you use yours for?
I am a founding member. Absolutely, a founding member of that. And, I've been thinking about the great women in history. I was thinking now that Harriet Tubman is going to be on the currency, you know, I'm wondering whether she gets to play the woman's card. I don't think that the woman's card is so much as important as like getting women on the bill.
Yeah, or woman cash.
Like getting our money to be worth as much as men's money. You know, that would be so cool. I think until we're making as much as men make, that we should just have like pink money. You know, so that it should be just say 78 cents to a man's dollar.
Or leave after 78% of the workday.
Exactly,
is complete.
The woman clock. Yes, I've been seeing that. Yeah. So I think that there's not going to be any kind of gender equity unless there's hope for a financial equity and equity of access. You know, I grew up in a working class Italian family in Brooklyn, New York, and neither of my parents graduated from high school. It was not something that was necessarily like open and affirming to me, and yet I sort of realized that a lot of places will let you in if you make enough noise. I was one of the first classes of women at Dartmouth College when they first went co-ed. That was a hoot. That taught me how to speak up. And all the generations of women who've come after me have still had to learn those same lessons. Like every 20 years, we need to keep reminding ourselves of this.
And maybe unlearning some other lessons.
I think that there are different ones. I think everybody's getting better. I mean, I have a great sense. It's why I still love my teaching and I love the young people in my life, because I do see things is getting better. And I do think that people are more aware of the absurdities of life. And that's really what the book is about. I mean, this is for hip people to buy their hip moms for Mother's Day. You know, this is the stuff that you can laugh about when there is, you know, an article that you mentioned earlier about the, you know, the female orgasm explains in her own words how she is not elusive. I wrote that for Psychology Today, where I write. And, you know, I just decided to give the female orgasm her own say in this, because everyone speaks for her
uh-huh.
all the time. So this is the first person. And there are essays about what I wished I had known myself at 18 and about why you should thank your last person, your last lover who dumped you, whenever that happened to be, why you have to be grateful for that and the steps that you go through and how breaking up in a relationship is sort of like those, you know, those infomercials that you see or the websites that explain how you give up smoking, you know, within 24 hours, you'll be breathing better within 48 hours, you know, the toxins in your system will clean out. I have a version of that for ending relationships.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, I think that there's a lot of wild ideas that have come from just interacting with people. I've decided that one of my students explained to me that they're now all worried about what their bikini bridge looks like.
A pressing concern, yeah.
Yes, it was a very scary to me. And I thought, my, you know, bikini bridge is the Verrazano. You know, it's got seven lanes. It has
that connects New Jersey to
Manhattan. So life is worth living.
Yeah.
You know, it's got an easy pass. But that, you know, that we have to stop doing things where young women who could be changing the world are wondering about what strange men they will never meet, think about trying to look down their bathing suits on public beaches. That should not be a concern in our world right now.
Right.
We need to make fun of it.
Well, there's a lot of really terrible stuff that's also pretty funny, especially in your book. I mean, when you think about culture today, what things do you find the most damaging and probably the most hilarious, too?
Damaging and hilarious continues to be the obsession with our looks. I mean, somebody just sent me an article from the New York Times about teenage girls now and young women wanting to get genital plastic surgery, like to make their girl parts look better.
Hmm.
And I thought, this can't be. I'm thinking this is The Onion. You know, I'm going back and checking this out. And I'm thinking this is very unnerving. It's like when you should have, you know, at what point does plastic surgery go really too far? And so there are this obsession with how we look. I mean, when we were talking about how ridiculous it was for women to be spending all this money on products for hair and how men didn't do it, I thought that would mean that women would stop paying products for money for hair, not that men would start doing it. That wasn't the whole thing about pointing out that men weren't doing that. It was to make them pick up what women were doing. It was the idea that, you know, we were going to get the best of the bunch. I believe in, you know, the importance of figuring out for women to find out what's the work in their life that they need to do. I think work is what most of us spend most of our time doing when we're awake. And finding that vocation is crucial. So there's a lot about work in the book.
Yeah, I mean, and you use this term achievement dysmorphia. Can you tell us what that means?
Okay, that's, you know, how body dysmorphia is even women who are sort of shockingly thin will look in the mirror and think that they're too heavy.
Uh-huh.
And so it becomes a pathology. That I think the same thing happens with women in accomplishment. If you want to get into an argument with a woman, all you have to do is compliment her. You can compliment her on how she looks. I mean, if you go up and you say, great haircut. Are you kidding? I spent $45 and they left this whole part out. I look like a chipmunk. You'll get into a fight. If you say, great job on that project, that was brilliant. She goes, it was my entire team. My team did everything. If I had another 2 weeks, I could have really brought this home. But it wasn't. It's like all we see are the flaws. We cannot accept credit for anything. We apologize for everything. We will tell you what's wrong with us. If women could really learn, you know, all of those ads and articles and, you know, quizzes and hints on how to make better use of our time in the day. If women stopped apologizing for everything we said and everything we did, do you know how much free time there would be? We could, like, you know, be building sort of, you know, homes for, you know, disenfranchised zoo animals with our spare time. I mean, if we stop saying, I'm sorry, for things that actually either we're not sorry for, we're not responsible for, we didn't do.
Yeah, although, I mean, I think sometimes that can be a bit heavy. You know, I've come across so many lists, or listicles as they're called on the internet, about
right.
how I need to change the way I talk, or if I actually just stop using the words just and actually in my email, suddenly I'll be paid as much as my male counterparts across the world. Or if I even stop using the word I in emails, I've seen that one, which can be a real like mind warp when you're suddenly trying to
how
write.
How are you not supposed to use the word I?
Well, you just give it a go and see how you find. So I mean, these are things that we are told, and that, you know, it's always kind of pushed on back towards you of like, well, you've got to outmaneuver a sexist world, basically. And so at what point does that just get ridiculous?
No, I think first of all, it already is ridiculous. And I think it's more the way that this stuff works is that this is a system that doesn't need to necessarily be leaned against or shoved into shape or nurtured or curved. It needs to be dismantled. It's not like we need to, you know, the image of like holding the door open for the woman who's going to follow us next isn't right. We need to like take the door down, take the wall that the door is in down. We need to like dismantle this.
But then all the bugs get in. I mean, what are you?
That's really okay, because we've been taking all of those all of those probiotics. So our immune system is so healthy that we can deal with this. But yes, once you start taking down the gates and the walls and everything else, then yes, it becomes more chaotic. But out of that chaos, then other groups form. If people start telling the truth about our lives, that's going to be not only the most hilarious, but the most enlightening part of what goes on.
A lot of truth bombs in your book. We're talking with Gina Borecka. Her book is If You Lean In, Will Men Just Look Down Your Blouse? I invite our listeners to join the discussion with comments, questions for Gina, 800-838-3760, or you can email us jx@jeffnet.org. Gina, we have a comment here from Gianetta in Atlanta. She says, what's the biggest issue facing women in today's society, and where do you get your ideas for your columns?
The ideas from the column come from everyday conversation, from my friends on Facebook. You know, I've got this, again, tribe of loud, smart women who are out there, from people who are responding to questions that I have, from overheard conversations, from what, is getting at me that day that I feel needs to be dealt with. And I really do believe that the most important thing facing women today is to understand that what we still believe individually are often our flaws, our neuroses, our burdens to carry alone, really do come from a cultural, political, financial sort of structure that was not built with us in mind, and that we need to sort of confront, and that we need to take on. And I'm not literally talking about tearing things down. I'm not anarchic, but there's something about looking at things straight in the face is very much, you know, the sort of Dorothy Wizard in the Oz thing. I mean, we got to get rid of the mirrors and smoke, and figure out what's behind the curtain, and then take the responsibility for changing it. And that's hard work. I mean, that's the part. Once you start doing that, then the trouble is that you can't stop. There's not a lot of relaxation that goes into sort of world changing. But it's also the fun part. It's what makes every day worth the time of getting up in the morning.
I mean, something I've observed, perhaps definitely experienced, you know, when you are confronting about something, people will call you judgy, or there's a lot of words for women,
yep,
who are confronting, and most of them aren't public radio appropriate. So how do you push back there and still sort of, you know, navigate the world?
That's a great question, Emily. First of all, people who were thinking that about you are already thinking that about you, because any time that a woman opens her mouth and something besides a cooing noise comes out, you're already all of those words. The nicest B word is, of course, bossy out of that. But
yeah,
if you're not opening your mouth just to go, oh, what did you do? If that's not the sound coming, anything other than that, including like pass the salt, is considered an aggressive, abrasive screed that, you know, a woman who was brought up with a sense of entitlement can do. I mean, so you've already, you know, the people are going to think that of you, already thinking of that of you. You're not going to bring them back. And the only thing that can actually get people to engage in conversation about things that make them uncomfortable, I think, is humor. And humor sort of gets you upside your head because you don't see it coming. You're laughing despite yourself. And when you can get somebody to laugh, for that brief moment, you're standing on the same piece of territory. That's why humor always has dealt with, you know, since Aristophanes onward, has dealt with the most dangerous topics in life. It's life and death and sex and money and territory and politics. It's, you know, humor has gone where tragedy will only touch briefly because it's too powerful. It's like putting your hand on the third rail. So humor has always been a way for us to approach the taboo subject. And certainly most women who have been brought up to be nice girls, which is something I was brought up to be, although I've abandoned the project, and I'm heartily in favor of other people doing the same, you know, that we need to make sure that we're not giving up that sense of humor as really part of the great strength of our collective voices. When we start laughing together, we can really bring the house down.
What's the difference? You just mentioned being a nice girl. What's the difference between being nice and being kind?
Thank you for asking. That's one of my favorite. Kindness, like I said, is often window dressing as opposed to actually being generous, giving something of yourself, paying attention. You know, someone can write you a note or send an email that says, sorry for your loss, let's say, if you've had something terrible happen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who is, that's the nice person, the person who was kind, not kindness is window dressing, niceness is. The person who is kind will show up with, you know, a pan of macaroni and cheese, will say, okay, you know, I can come over today, you can come over tomorrow, let's talk about this. God, I remember when your mother used to make those peanut butter cookies when we were kids, and it could be somebody you haven't heard of in 20 years, you know, heard from in 20 years, and they can show up, where somebody else can, you know, send a bouquet, but that might not be what you need at the moment. Somebody who's genuinely kind takes a moment to figure out what it is that you need, not only what they think should be done.
It seems to go back to this idea of looking things straight in the face. And if you do that and you do it honestly, you've got to, you'll empathize with people. You just can't help it.
Right. I think that's absolutely true. And I think that a lot of humor really is about empathy also. I mean, this, for me, the new book, If You Lean In, Will Men Just Look Down Your Blouse, sort of despite the title, it's more personal than anything I've ever written, and that's including the memoir that I wrote about my time at Dartmouth that was published by the University Press of New England. This one really confronts it. I talk about the panic attacks that I used to have regularly. I talk about why I go to see a shrink and how important that is and how finding the right one, you know, because otherwise you're just showing up for an hour with somebody that you have to pay basically to be like on a bad date with. You're having a terrible conversation where nobody's making eye contact, you know. I mean, it's really not worth it, even if you have Blue Cross. And how you need to find somebody. I mean, it's going back to childhood stuff. It's about learning about sex for the first time when it did seem as if, you know, the female orgasm would never speak up. So, I mean, there are lots of subjects that that go a little further into a thicketed and forested past than some of my other works do. But apparently from my readers are telling me that those are some of the ones they like best. So I'm glad that I had the guts to put them in there.
Let's take a call. We've got Sandy in Mount Shasta on the line. Sandy, welcome to The Exchange. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I'm definitely going to have to get your book. It sounds riotously funny as well as kind of piercing
some of
the truth. I want to give a shout out to, there's two categories of women I've come to really, really, really admire. They're doing the two most important jobs in the world. The first is mothers, mm-hmm. and the second is the people who are doing the mothering job when the mother can't do it. That's early child care people, early childhood education people, stuff like that. And they get like just about zero recognition in our culture. So
all right, Sandy, we've got a minute left, so I'm going to thank you for your comments and throw it back to Gina.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the idea that mothers, again, are you know, always talk about their sense of dysmorphia, always feeling that somebody else is doing it better. All of these visions that the world have given us about what women are supposed to be, they fit us the way that Spanx fit us. They bottle us up. They keep us closed off. They're dreadfully uncomfortable, and they don't allow us to, like, be comfortable in our own bodies. We have to get rid of those. We don't need whalebone corsets. We need some backbone back in our lives. And I think that humor and talking about the real stuff helps us get there.
Gina Bareka, with coming out of this interview, anything we should all stop doing immediately?
Telling anybody what they should all stop doing immediately. And also stop saying blueberries will make you healthy. They won't.
All right. So antioxidants up for debate, a lot up for debate. And Gina Bareka's book, If You Lean In, Will Men Just Look Down Your Blouse? Questions and Thoughts for Loud, Smart Women in Turbulent Times. Gina, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Entire me, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right.